I'm going to speak to you for the next few times that I speak, next seven preaches that I do, which will take us to the end of the world, no, to summer, on prayer and the awesome privilege we have of being kids of Almighty God and how we can access His power and goodness just through talking to Him. And I thought it was really interesting, that prophetic word from Julie. Did you hear that this morning? The Holy Spirit was saying, I enjoy church, but I'd like you to get to know me. I want relationship. I want you to speak to me about everything that bothers you, the Lord said. Everything that concerns you, I want you to speak to me about it. And prayer is absolutely the way we do that. But for most people, it's something that we just haven't got under our belt, and we just don't know how to do it, and don't really know whether it works. Don't know really whether it's worth the time. You know, if someone says, yeah, I'll pray about it. It's usually a get-out line, isn't it? Yeah, I'll pray about that. Oh, see you. And you don't really mean much by it. Or you just have a terrible image of prayer. Prayer, you know, in our minds, it doesn't seem to be where the action is, does it? You know, we want to be doing. You know, yeah, I will pray about it, but I've got to do something about this problem first. Prayer doesn't necessarily feel like the doing that will sort the problem sometimes, does it? It doesn't look like where the action is. I mean, here's one of those movies, you know, the cowboy's there with his gun on and he's on a white horse and there's some baddie and he's going out to solve the problem. And, you know, and there's the little friar with the little monk's hat on and a haircut like mine. And he's stood outside the little church in this Spanish village somewhere in South America. Huh? And the cowboy says, we're going to go and we're going to sort out these evil guys, we're going to get them. And the little friar says, let me go too, gringo. And that sounds like Nacho Libre, doesn't it? But anyway. And the cowboy looks lovingly and kindly at the poor little monk and says, Father, it could be dangerous. You better stay here. And he says, but I want to do something too. And he says, you can pray. And he says, si, senor. And the white horse rides off into the dust. And the little priest goes into his chapel to pray. Where does the camera go? It doesn't follow the little priest into that church to watch him pray. He's going to talk to God. No. The camera follows the dust to where the real action is, doesn't it? That's our view of prayer usually. Yeah, we'll pray if we really need to, but actually where the real action is doing, doing, doing. I've got to save my life. I've got to save my family. I've got to save the world. Actually, you're not going to manage any of those things unless you know how to talk to your dad and get from him the power, the life-changing stuff that you actually need. I don't know how prayer's been for you up to now. Now your relationship with God's been up to now. But I believe in the next 3 months it can change. I do. And I think if you're willing to go with me on this little journey, by the end of these 3 months, your Christian life could be totally, totally different. And some major mountains in your life can be shifted. Does anyone believe that? Just through talking to God about them. Over the years, through prayer, we've seen cancers shrink and disappear. We've seen marriages that were absolutely on the rocks be transformed. We've seen churches that were dead revived. We have. We've seen people who were suicidal become full of joy and delivered of the devil. We've seen amazing things happen. We've seen God provide fridges and cookers and cars and holidays and houses for people just for the asking. People who never thought they could own their own home are living in them today. Just because they learn to pray and ask God. Does that sound exciting? It is. You know, the other day we were doing some work in here before we opened up, and on those windows, that little window there going through that door into the kitchen, there was these stickers on and we were trying to get them off. And I had this little scraper and was spraying it with this nail varnish remover that I found in Ian's handbag. And I was scraping it. You know what? It was hard work. Hard work. It's not shifting, it's not moving. Then behind me, I heard this noise, a bit like that fire. It was Harry. And But it wasn't just Harry. It was Harry with a steamer. He had extra power on his side. And he was just going, and it was just coming off with a little bit of effort. Just coming off. I said, Harry, will you do mine as well? He had the steamer. He had the power. What is it in your life right now that is just hard? It's not shifting. It's not moving. Not for a lot of gritted teeth and tears and hard work and begging and borrowing. And you know, your marriage can absolutely be transformed by your attitude changing to your spouse. Or your attitude changing to your parents or your kids. Your life can change. But not without God. Prayer isn't a religious exercise. It's a human necessity. People need God. And they need to connect to Him for real. And be able to speak to Him. And for us as Christians, this should be our absolutely daily bread. But often, do you know what it isn't? Often we do just do church and go through a few things. And the scary thing is, it is so easy. Let me read you a bit of scripture. If you want to turn to Luke chapter 11, if you've got your Bibles, or you've got your little iPods or iPads or whatever you do, your pads and things, you can have a look there. And if you have neither of those, I want to encourage you to bring your Bible to church these Sunday mornings. We're going to be looking at the Bible. And I don't want you to just take for granted what I'm saying. I'd like you to look. So either bring your Bible or something you can look at, some screen. Luke chapter 11. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Just like John taught his disciples to. And he said to them, okay, when you pray, say, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You know, when Jesus was praying, the disciples wanted to get in on it. It must have been something good. They said, can we do that? You know, our kids, when you get anything new comes into the house, they all want to go at the same time. You know, someone gets a scooter or the first thing a little kid says is, can I have a go? Can I have a go of that? That's exactly what the disciples were doing. They saw Jesus speaking to his Father, and there was something about it that made them say, can I do that? Can I know God like that? Can I speak to God like that? Can I get those results, that power, those answers? Can I hear his voice like you hear him? Can you teach me to do that? And Jesus didn't go all mystical on them and say, you know, he wasn't a Jedi. Prayer is a very mystical thing that in many years' time you'll know God. Because Christianity, as you know by now, is not like that at all. If you want it, you can have it. If you ask, you get it. They said, can you teach us to pray? Jesus said, sure. When you pray, say, Our Father who is in heaven. And that's where it all starts. This morning I want to speak to you about our Father who is in heaven. You have a Father. If you're a Christian in this room today, then you have a Father who is in heaven. If you're not a Christian, he'd like to be your Father. And it's absolutely easy for you to become a Christian. Then you can have a Father. Without becoming a Christian, actually, he's not your Father. And so there is a bit of a distance there. You know, when people pray, just cry out to God, they're just crying out to the God they don't know. There's like a barrier there. You know, when Jesus prayed, I'm not going to really do this, am I, with this microphone. Margaret, will you come and be my beautiful assistant? He's Margaret, my beautiful assistant. Will you just hold one hand open like that? And the other hand, that's awesome. Just stay there till next week. No. When Jesus prayed, he prayed like this. Between him and his Father, there was no barriers, nothing. Yeah, we've heard about open heaven. For Jesus, heaven was always open. He's opened it for us as well, actually, but right now. But Jesus just prayed to his Father, there's no barriers. When a non-Christian cries out to God, there is a barrier. In this book is every sin and offense and everything God holds against them and judgment and everything else, there is a barrier. Some people say to me, when I pray, it feels like my prayers are hitting the roof. And if they're not a Christian, I say, that's probably because your prayers are hitting the roof. I feel like there's a great distance between me and God. That's probably because there is a great distance between you and God. There is, until you're born again. Until you come to the cross. And what happened on the cross was that Jesus took on himself all of our sin and suffered it for us. So that once that's happened, that transfer, when you're born again, this is you right now. Thank you, Margaret. This is you right now. You have absolute, total, open access to God every day. It's just a fact. You have a dad. Have you heard about the kids in the playground who say, you know, my dad's bigger than your dad? You've heard that one, haven't you? My dad's bigger than your dad. Sense of, like, security, isn't it? If you give me any grief, my dad'll batter you. Well, my dad'll batter him. Well, my dad's bigger than your dad. That's the sort of logic behind it, isn't it? Well, do you know something? Your dad is bigger than anything. He's bigger than anyone or anything. And all of his help is there just for the asking. But you know the scary thing is, we don't find it that easy to ask. Prayer proves your dependence on God. It proves that you're saying in your life, I can't do this without you. Prayerlessness, when you don't pray, you are definitely saying, I'll manage, I'll get on. In the back of our minds, there's still this fear. It's a bit of a waste of time. I'm sure God hears me, but I also need to get into the action quick. Actually, God wants to flip that completely. So the first thing you do when you're in a crisis, and the first thing you do when you have a need, and the first thing you do every single day, is go into the presence of your Father. Worship him, thank him, and ask him for wisdom, help, resources, power. And as you do, he just gives it for the asking because he is your dad. And that's absolutely awesome. And I'd love at the end of these 3 months to have some testimonies of you guys up here saying these impossible things that you've never seen shifted, all your life shifted, just because we prayed over these 3 months. Just because he gave a little bit of time, a bit more regularly, to going to God over these issues and asking him to sort them out. So, why don't you turn to Exodus chapter 17. I just want to show you one of the most awesome illustrations of this. The people of Israel have come out of Egypt. But to their dismay, their battles aren't over. they've been saved from Pharaoh. They've been saved from slavery. But they're still getting attacked. Does anyone ever feel like that still? You know, you've become a Christian. I'm saved. I'm even going to church now. But you know what? I'm still attacked. I've still got enemies dogging my heels. Well, we have. It's the truth. You know, you might have different enemies now, but they're there. We might have different problems, but they're still real. And the amazing thing is, we can see victory over them only as we pray. As we lift up our hands to God, we see the victory. Let's just read this little story together. Verse 8 of chapter 17. It says, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Did he? Yes. But only with the sword? No. And I just want to show you a couple of things. First of all, this connection between the practical and the spiritual. And you notice that they did both. Here's Moses, he has this crisis. He's got all these people he's looking after. And at the edge of the camp, there's an army assembling, ready to wipe them out. He has a planning meeting with Joshua. They don't all go and pray, but some of them do. He says, look, we'll go up on the hill and pray. We'll pray for God's power to come down onto our troops. They'll be filled with energy. They'll be filled with courage. They'll be filled with valor. They'll fight for their families and for the Lord. They'll fight well. We pray for them. You go out, take your sword, go out and fight. You do the practical and the spiritual, don't you? You have to do both. Both are important. And, you know, the truth is that most of us lean towards the practical, though. That's the problem. We just get out on the plane and we start fighting. And don't spend enough time up the mountain asking God to bless us. And that spiritual and practical thing need to go hand in hand. Prayer is practical. And spiritual things need action. Do you know, just praying about things actually doesn't do enough. You know, you do need to move. You do need to get up in the morning, get yourself ready and get yourself to church. You and your kids ready, and that's a big deal. It's practical. You have to do it. You can lie in bed or walk around the house all Sunday morning with your dressing gown on, hoping that your family will change and that your marriage will change and that your life will change, but nothing will change. You need to do practical things as well. You need to get up and move and make decisions towards God. They're steps of faith. That's taking your sword. That's getting down on the plane. It's doing stuff. That's important. Repenting. You know, you can't have a relationship with God if you're not willing to repent and let go of the things that are damaging you and offending him. If you're not willing to repent, you're just kidding yourself. Oh, Lord, one day I'll just... No, you need to take action if you're that kind of person. But most of us actually aren't that kind of person. Most of us want to do right. We want to go with God. We want to do the right thing. But it's the other thing we don't do. We don't go up the mountain and lift up our hands to God and see him fight for us and win for us. And it's said that, you know, Moses' hands grew tired. And that's the thing about prayer. You know, sometimes it takes a little bit of time. Just the truth. Sometimes things are awesomely instant. Sometimes they're not. When I first became a Christian, all of my family rejected Christianity and me. And just laughed long and loud about it. And that caused a bit of distance between us. Quite a bit of distance. And in the end, but I started to pray for them. I read that promise. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. So after I dropped Margaret off at the bus station, Middleton bus station, I knew how to treat a woman well. And to go home on the bus, I used to walk back to the bedsit where I lived. And on that little walk, I did my prayers. It's good to have a little place, a moment. That's what you do with prayers. You break it down into little chunks like that. And I used to pray along that walk. And I just used to pray that. Father, you said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm knocking for my family to become Christians. And I prayed that every day, doing that little walk, for, you know what, at least a couple of months, probably 6 months or something. And then I thought, it's an absolute waste of time. Nothing's happening. They're not changing. I'm going to pray for something else instead. And I sort of let my hands drop a little bit. What happened at that point, though, kept me going, encouraged me. What happened was, my sister suddenly got interested in God and started inviting me and Margaret around and asking us about God, and her husband Jeff did as well. And then, so that encouraged me. I thought, oh, I'll keep going. So, okay, I ask, I seek, I knock. And then not long after that, most of you know the story of my brother John, who was an alcoholic, and he came to one meeting in church. And it was like all those prayers had piled up. And then they just landed on his head like a ton of God cement. And he came forward to church in the first meeting he'd ever been in, fell on the floor, was absolutely delivered of alcoholism in a couple of minutes, and stood up, filled with the Holy Spirit, born again, speaking in tongues, on fire. And like, we were all in absolute shock. And he went home, and my dad and Pat, who are here today, saw that, and were massively affected and shocked and instantly started coming to the meetings and very quickly got saved. My whole family got saved, just like dominoes coming down. But do you know what? I could have easily given up. And it wasn't only to do with my prayers, but I'm sure it helped. But often, very often, those prayers in our thinking seem unrelated to what's happening. You know, later they got saved through an awesome testimony. Yeah, they probably did. In an awesome meeting, there was an awesome preacher. Yeah, he probably was. But don't forget this, that way back here, Mummy was praying for him for 5 years. Someone was asking God to change him. Someone was crying out to God for a miracle for 3 months. And sometimes with prayer, it just takes a little bit of time. You've got to be willing to do it. That's a scary and an awesome verse, that. Moses is looking down, watching the battle. And the tide can go both ways. It can in your life. It can go both ways. Maybe you started coming to Amazing Grace and, yeah, the tide's turning. The tide's going, I'm doing Route 61, the tide's turning. Have you noticed it can go back as well? The tide can go back sometimes. It does for me, it does for our team, it does for the church. We're in a significant battle that we have enemies against us. And Moses is watching the battle and his hands are raised to God. And as his hands are raised, they're winning. The Israelites are winning. Yes, yes. Then he gets tired, lowers his hands, starts walking down the hill, just watching the battle. And to his dismay, the tide begins to turn. Oh, some of our troops are getting wiped out. Hang on a minute. This is going... And he realizes the connection between this and this. Have you made that connection yet? Jesus said, pray and say, Our Father in heaven. You need the help of your heavenly dad, and it's there for the asking. There for the asking. Some of you are sick, you can be healed, it's there for the asking. Just ask. Jesus said, pray, and don't give up. Don't give up. And that is just so incredibly important, that you just pray and keep going, and the tide can turn, and mighty miracles can happen. You know, when we ask God, He intervenes, he hears our prayers. And that's when the exciting stuff happens, when people begin to cry out to God. Often it's when they need to that we do those things. One night we were preaching when we were just kids, like 19-year-old or something, over in Norton. And a friend of ours was having a bit of a crisis. His name was Jim. He was an older guy. He lived over here and he went for a walk across Newport Bridge. It was a cold, foggy night, and as he was walking across Newport Bridge, he saw this lad who was sat out on the cage right over the water, thinking about jumping or going to jump. And he stopped and started to talk to this lad, tried to encourage him, tried to give him some hope, tried to beg him not to come back. These were the days before mobiles. He wasn't ringing any police or anyone. He didn't have anyone. But instead of a mobile, who knows what he did have? He had a Father in heaven. And he began to pray. And this is a true story. And this is what he prayed. Because we're all pals together knocking round. He said, Lord, I've been talking to this guy for an hour and a half and I'm not getting anywhere. Send someone who's a good talker. Send Martin. Wherever Martin is, send him to me now. Well, where I was in a meeting in Norton, with a bunch of us, speaking to a load of young Catholic people about the Holy Spirit. And for some reason, right then, this is how God works, isn't it? Some of us said, time to pack up, guys. Yeah, I think we're finished here. I think we're done. This is our prayers work. I think we're done here. Let's go back home. Come on, then. You jump in the car. Julian Harrop was driving. I was sat in the back. We start driving back. And for some reason, because this is how prayer works, instead of going over the flyover here, which is the way we went, he goes under the flyover and crosses Newport Bridge. As we're going across Newport Bridge, the fog is ultra thick. Because over water, fog is really thick, isn't it? And you just couldn't see anything. It's two lanes. You could see people's lights and that. But as we went past pretty fast, someone in the car saw this lad sat out. And someone said, did you see that lad sat out on that cage? And we said, no. And he said, yeah, someone sat in that cage. And we were going down the roundabout, round the roundabout. And someone said, think he's fishing? And we were going around, we thought, you're not fishing in the middle of the night in fog like that. So we said, let's go around the roundabout, let's have another look. We didn't even see Jim. Because Jim was leaning out over the cage talking to this lad. No one saw him. So went round the roundabout, came back. I was in the back. So I said, I'll jump out and go and see if he's all right. I jumped out. They went, because it's two lanes, so they couldn't park. They just dropped me out quick and they kept driving back to the roundabout and back around again. I crossed the road in the fog and start walking down. Now imagine Jim, my friend. He's praying, Lord, wherever Martin is, send him then. No way. Out of the fog comes Martin. Is God awesome? That man's pretty specific answer to prayer, isn't it? Jim was absolutely freaked out. I said, yeah, Jim. He said, where did you come from? I said, a Renault 18. But anyway. And, you know, we were able to talk to this lad and bring him back. God. God has all sorts of adventures for us to be involved in. But someone needs to pray to do it. Jim could have just panicked. He could have just lived in his own resources. Or he could have applied for help. You apply for help, you get it. That's how prayer works. And here's three things, and I'll end with this very quickly. Here's three things you're going to need if you're going to go through these 3 months successfully and see things shift in your life. When he got tired, three things helped him. It says that he found a rock and sat on it. That's helpful, isn't it? Then it says his friends held his hands up. And then it says, his hands therefore remained steady, and he won. Here's three things you need if you're going to see some awesome miracles in these 3 months. And I believe we are. I'm going for it. I've started reading loads of books on prayer just to get myself ready for this little series. And I've started praying more myself. You do. You start to think about prayer, talk about prayer, study about prayer. You start praying, and then instantly you start seeing results. And I always think, why don't I do more of this? Why do I just get so busy and so into action and ministry and preaching instead of realizing when I step back, more happens? I need to step back up that mountain, get perspective, get away from the battle, the noise of the battle and the clash and the bash, and step back, get some perspective, pray over things and see the tide turn. Here's the first thing. Sit on a rock. Who's the rock? You know who the rock is. He's always the same. It's Jesus. Remember, when we're praying, we're not crying out for our salvation. We're not crying out like many people around the world who don't know God, who don't have a relationship with him. We're praying from this position of rest on the rock of Jesus Christ. We have a prayer who's praying for us night and day. Jesus is in heaven, interceding for us, giving the amen to our prayers, encouraging us, merciful, forgiving. The writer to the Hebrews says, let's all come with confidence every day before the throne of grace. It's a throne of, not a throne of judgment for us. It's a throne of grace so we can receive mercy every day. Start there. Receive mercy for yourself. Then find grace to help you, whatever you need. You can do that through prayer. Receive mercy, then find grace. For anything you need, find undeserved gifts, undeserved help, undeserved favour in every area of the church or your family life. But do it from a place of sitting down on the rock, not from a place of striving. Come on, Jesus. Secondly, do it with the support of others. Let's do it together. Friends, what an awesome picture. Here's Moses, who has people who care enough about what's happening to hold his hands up so they can keep the power flowing. That's awesome, isn't it? Should we support each other in this battle? Should we help each other? Should we serve each other? Should we give each other lifts? Should we give each other money? Should we look after each other's kids? Should we pray for each other? Should we? Let's do it together. Let's support each other. Lift up one another's hands when we know they're flagging, when we know we're under attack. Lift up each other's hands when we see each other getting tired. And support each other so we can keep the power flowing. So we can keep winning ground. Guys, well done. We've already won a major amount of ground just to be here. But this is nothing, is it? This is just the beginning of what God wants to do. He wants an awesome revival to be here. There is an open heaven here, and some of us have seen visions of the heaven's altar open and fire dropping down on Teesside Park. So this is just the beginning. Should we start asking for it? Should we go to our Father in heaven and ask for the fire to come every Sunday? Not just church. Ian's right. Not just church. There we are. It's not about that. It's about encountering God and meeting God and us lot, knowing our Father in heaven more, knowing how to access power and grace, walking with him. That's it. And then, do you know what? Then we'll remain steady. We'll just remain steady. Everyone say steady. Steady. That's the way to pray. Not dramatic. Not, I'm sure many of us have done the 4 a.m. in the morning prayer thing. You know, that's it. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to get up a long time before dawn and pray. And you get up at 4 a.m. in the morning. You know, you're slobbering in your coffee. You're falling asleep. You can't. I've got a theory. God isn't up at 4 a.m. in the morning. He's on the other side of the world doing stuff. We're not talking about striving. We're not talking about, don't bite off big chunks. That's it. I'm going to pray. No, if you want to, the important thing with prayer is this. It's like my diet, little but often. Little but often. Oh, I'm spitting this wrong. Little. Move those chairs back. Little but often is what matters with prayer. It's true. That's how you do it. You bite off little chunks like me doing that little walk. It's your journey in the car, that journey. Pick a journey, pick a moment, pick some time and use it to pray. God doesn't need your poetry. He wants sincerity. He's not bothered about time. Ooh, you didn't do a full hour? Oh, don't be ridiculous. You can do more in 3 minutes on your knees than you could in a whole hour of just filling in your prayer time. What matters is reality with God, speaking to your Father. Just bite it off and then steady, steady, steady. It will happen. It will change. Everything will change. You don't have to go for the dramatic. One night me and Margaret decided to pray all night. We used to pray all night actually when we were kids, when we were younger with our friends, you know, in our back kitchen. And when we weren't so young, not long ago, we thought, yeah, I think it was Maundy Thursday or something. It was before Good Friday. We thought, yeah, let's do it with Jesus. Let's do what we used to do. Yeah, come on. We got all excited about it. Yeah, let's do it. But you know, when you've got a load of kids and you're shattered, it just doesn't work, does it? So we went in the back room, put the little light on. She sat on the settee. I sat here. Say, yeah, let's do it. Okay. We'll begin now and we'll go all night. Okay. And about an hour and a half later, there must have been some noise. And I jerked like that and woke up. And she did the same. And we looked at each other. And in my drunken stupor, I grabbed my watch from the side and I had it upside down. I think it said 1 o'clock in the morning. And I thought it said 7 o'clock. 1 o'clock in the morning. I thought it said 7 o'clock in the morning. I looked at my watch and went, we did it! We did what? Slept in the back room. Sat up. Listen. Let's just bite off a little chunk, shall we? And stay steady. Steady. But do bite off, won't you? Begin. Let's begin to pray. And over these 7 weeks, I'm going to teach you everything I know about prayer. That'll take about 10 minutes. And then we're going to look at everything Jesus said about prayer together. So why don't we start now? Let's stand together. Let the Holy Spirit show you what he wants to do for you in this 3 months, eh? Let's just ask him now. What miracle would you like to see happen? What mountain really needs to be shifted in your marriage, family, life, finances, children? What is it? And just let's go for that. And let's ask and keep asking until we see a great breakthrough. Daddy in heaven, we thank you today for your wonderful love for us. And we thank you that you've spoken by your Holy Spirit this morning. And you've said you want a relationship with us that's deeper than just church. And Lord, we're glad. We want that. And Lord, we just confess our unbelief about prayer. That it's basically a bit of a waste of time and we could be doing other things more fruitful and we need to get on and we need to look after ourselves and all those things. We just choose to let go of those things now and just believe what you said, Jesus. When you pray, say, Our Father, who is in heaven. O God, with you all things are possible. All things are possible. You said you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And Holy Spirit, we ask you for that grace now on us as a people, that you would make us a church full of prayer, a praying, seeking, receiving church. Lord, and do it for us as individuals. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, thank you so much. Amen.